Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We'll now head out to the hotline and welcome in the Pro Football Hall of Famer and Warren Moon back on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Warren, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And how you doing?
I'm hanging in there, Zach. How you doing? It's a very chaotic time that we're living in right now. A lot of different things going on. A lot of people suffering from whatever it is, whether it's disease, whether it's unemployment, whether it's just the tragedy of what happened with George Floyd. So, yeah, a lot of things to deal with right now.
It's a tough time, no question. Let me first ask you about George Floyd. We all saw the horrible murder that did occur last week, and we've seen what has come from the aftermath of that killing by Derek Chauvin, the officer. How do you process the last 2 weeks, Warren?
You know, it was just tragic, and it was also heartbreaking to watch. I've never seen anything that vivid and that visual on television before, to see a man basically executed in front of your eyes and just have the air kind of just sucked out of his body or squeezed out of his body. It's an image I think that not only affected me and not only affected all black people, but it's affected people all over the world. And I think that's why you see the outcry of the anger, the pain that you're seeing everywhere, and that's why everybody's, you know, protesting in the way they are, because they're just tired of it. And I think it took something this vivid to get everybody's attention.
How do you think change will be created so we're not in a situation like this where it does happen again somewhere down the road?
Well, there's got to be a lot of dialogue that's going to go on, and there's got to be a lot of changes in policies. There's got to be reform in the police departments all over the country, and there's got to be some trust established between police and especially people of color in communities. So is there going to be a lot of work that needs to be done over the next decade or so to get this thing back on track? It's not going to happen overnight, but as long as you're making strides towards trying to make things better, I think we can get this thing turned around in a positive direction. So that's why you're seeing all these young people out there right now that are protesting, because they see how real this is. And it's not just African Americans. It's people of all colors. It's people of all ages. It's a lot of young people, and it's also people around the world who were disgusted by what they had to watch happen here in the United States. We used to be a country that people led by example. I don't think people right now are looking at the example of what's going on in this country right now and are very proud of what's going on here.
And for so many years, you know this, black people have been calling out for help. And we even look at the Colin Kaepernick situation, and the message was being deflected through other different reasons and other things that were being brought up. The number one important thing, I think, it's to listen. And really, some of the more powerful images that I've seen this week are at the protests, when officers and the protesters are coming together to talk about these things and march as one.
Yeah, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take people listening. It's going to take people seeing everything. It's going to take people respecting one another and respecting one another's opinion. And that's something that people used to do somewhat in this country is even if you had a difference of opinion, that doesn't mean you don't like the person anymore. You have to hate that person because they don't believe the same thing as you. And that's what I see a lot more happening here. We're divided when it comes to politics. We're divided when it comes to religion. I mean, we're divided when it comes to social problems. But a lot of that has always been, but I don't think there's been the hate and the anger that's come along with it. So that's something we have to change. We just have to respect other people's opinions, that we are going to be different, that we aren't going to all look the same. We aren't going to pray to the same God. We're not going to vote for the same people, but we should still be able to live together and live in harmony, and that's something that's missing.
The Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Moon here with us. With all that you just said, Drew Brees had the comments 24 hours ago that he would never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America, has apologized since then, because once again, when we talk about the protesting that was going on back in 2016 and since then by Colin Kaepernick and many others, the message of social injustice and the protest against social injustice and police brutality did get hijacked when people have been talking about the military and the flag. Just what was your reaction when you saw the Drew Brees comments yesterday?
You know, I just thought Drew was, again, one of those people that just wasn't listening, that's just not listening to what the cause is here. And I think he's a much more intelligent guy than that, because he's been so involved in that community down in New Orleans since he got there after Katrina. And, I mean, even as recently as this COVID-19 thing, he provided make that 5 million meals to people in that community, and a lot of those people were African Americans who are living in poverty. So for him to not understand what's been going on over the last week or so with all these protests and that and the uprising, I just don't know where those comments came from. And I think they just came from a selfish place, that he was talking about what the flag and what the Star Spangled Banner meant to him. But this really had nothing to do with the flag or the Star Spangled Banner. This has to do with what's going on with police brutality and injustice to people of color. And I think he just lost it all, and he just went into what was important to him, and that's where he lost the whole meaning of what's going on right now. I think he's been talked to by a lot of different people. Maybe he understands a little bit better right now. He did apologize, but I think now he's got some rebuilding to do with his teammates and also with people in his community, because a lot of people have lost a lot of trust in him over that one incident. But I think if you look at the history of what Drew has been able to do over the time that he's been in New Orleans, I think he's at least allowed a mistake. And as long as he makes up for that mistake, I think he should be forgiven.
Talking to the Pro Football Hall of Famer and Warren Moon, if you were playing in today's age, how would you try to use your platform if you were still a quarterback in the National Football League?
You know, kind of the same way. I think more of my crusade when I came into the league was just fighting for more opportunities for African-American quarterbacks to get more opportunities to play. And you see what's going on in the league right now with the way they're flourishing, with the opportunities that they're getting, and I think things are in a much more positive position with the quarterback position. I think we still have a long way to go in coaching. I think we still have a long way to go in general managers and upper management. But as far as what's going on socially in communities, I would definitely be involved, because I had a foundation in Houston when I was there, and we were very active in that community. I think with the asset of social media, you can get to people a lot faster and a lot quicker nowadays as far as getting your feelings out and getting your message out, because it goes directly to the people that are following you. Where back when I played, you had to rely on a newspaper article, and that could get edited, or you had to rely on a television interview, and that could be edited. So nowadays, your message goes straight to the people, and you write from your words. And that's what makes it good in some ways, but it also makes it bad in some ways if you say the wrong thing, because you saw what happened with Drew by saying the wrong thing. He's feeling the backlash of that.
You wrote a book years ago, Never Give Up on Your Dream, and you talked about your journey and all the obstacles and how you weren't embraced right away because of the color of your skin. How did you power through that Warren Moon, because, you know, it's really remarkable when people are basically trying not to give you a job, or people are trying to put you down because of the color of your skin, something you can't control, and you're able to go on to have the career and life that you had being a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it was difficult, and I knew it was difficult when I took on that position at a very young age, that I didn't see a lot of people that looked like me playing that position, so I knew it was going to be tough to get those opportunities. So when I did have roadblocks, you know, I just understood that it wasn't going to be easy, and I think a person that I found a lot of my strength from was my mom, just the way she took care of our family, because when my dad died when I was 7 years old, she kind of had to go back to school, re-educate herself, and get a job and take care of six kids and make sure we had food on the table, make sure we had clean clothes on our back, and she was still working two shifts as a private duty nurse. So watching her, the way she orchestrated and kept our family together, and watching the strength and how she persevered through all of that, I think really rubbed off on me, and it gave me that same type of strength when I had to deal with obstacles and had to persevere.
Talking to the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Warren Moon. Warren, I'll be honest with you. Back in 2016, when Colin Kaepernick first elected to protest, I got caught up in the pig cop socks. I got caught up in thinking it was offensive to the military and the flag. And then, you know, covering the sport, when you had conversations with players and I really listened to what the message were, I understood the importance and the actual message of protesting. I would imagine that the protests are going to happen once again on a football field in 2020. How do you think they're going to be perceived this time around? Because I hope that they're perceived with now everyone understanding what the purpose of the protest is, but, you know, each and every person will take it from a different angle.
Yeah, there's always going to be people that don't agree, and I'm sure there's people that still disagree today, even though they saw what they saw. That's just kind of the society that we live in. Everybody's not going to agree with one another. But I think there is going to be more of an understanding of why it's being done. And hopefully over the next couple of months, if the progress starts to be made as far as making some changes in police reform and making some changes into how people are being treated as far as you know, inhumane treatment to African Americans or also people of color, if people can see that positive change is really being made and there's dialogue being done and there's some reforms being made and things like that, maybe there's no need to have the protest, because what a protest is supposed to do is bring visibility to a subject, and there's definitely visibility of that subject right now. Now it's a matter of trying to make some progress and get things done. And if as long as you're making progress, there's really no need to protest after that. So we'll see how everything shakes out by September. Maybe there's no need to do that, but if there isn't enough progress being made, then maybe you continue to keep protesting.
Are you optimistic that this is the turning point and that we're going to start to see not just some change, but some serious change?
Yeah, I really am. And the reason I am is because it's not all about African-Americans out there walking those streets. There are all different types of ethnic groups out there, and some of them are dominated more by white people than they are black. So I think everybody's kind of fed up with what has been going on. I think these young people are much more educated than we were back in the day. Because of social media, you have so much information out there about what's going on. And this is quite a crusade. So I think there is going to be some great and positive change here coming up. And hopefully these people in government in these states all over the country and these cities all over the country are up to the task of opening their minds and opening their hearts to make some changes.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Moon here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Getting to some football matters for this upcoming season, and we still don't know if it's going to start on time with all that's going on in the world with the coronavirus pandemic. But I look at the team that you follow very closely, the Seattle Seahawks. Offensively, no questions for me. I think that Seahawks team is going to be a really good football team once again. I just wonder if the defense takes that next step this year. Where's your confidence in the Seahawks defense going into this year?
You know, I think the defense will be better than last year because they had a number of young people playing, especially in the secondary. They got a lot of experience last year. If they can get Jadeveon Clowney back in the lineup, I think he gives them another great weapon on the edge. You got to have those edge rushers in this league in order to put pressure on quarterbacks, because the passing game is so important. You know, my biggest concern is on the offensive side of the ball, believe it or not, where you know Penny had a knee injury. We don't know if he's going to be back for the start of the season. And also Chris Carson broke a bone in his hip, and we don't know if he's going to be 100% right off the bat. So I think that's one of the reasons why they signed Wilder to make sure of that. So yeah, I think they're going to have another solid football team this year. Whenever you have a quarterback like Russell Wilson, it gives you a chance to win most football games, and then you add the other pieces around it. They have a pretty good core group of guys.
Yeah, it was a smart move, adding depth to that that running back room. No doubt about that. Let me ask you about this, though. Russell Wilson, and just to see, and we all knew he was a really good player, but to see what he's been able to do the last 2 years with all the changes that were going on with the Seahawks organization, how about what Russ has shown you the last 2 years?
Well, he's shown me the type of player that he can be if they let him loose. And, you know, Pete is a coach that likes to run the football and play great defense. He's a defensive-minded coach. So, you know, Russell's been kind of handicapped that way since he's been here, that he hasn't been asked to do a lot. But these last couple of years, he has been asked to do a little bit more, and he's risen to the occasion. We always have known he's a big play quarterback and makes most of his plays in the fourth quarter, but he's been asked to carry the football team a little bit more the last couple of years, and he's done a great job of it, especially with Brian Schottenheimer as the offensive coordinator. They're really in sync together. So with DK Metcalf, coming in and making a big impact as a rookie last year, I think he's going to have a better year this year, because wide receivers tend to make a big jump in that second year. So I think they're in good shape. But again, the running game is the only thing that really concerns me. And if those guys come back healthy, then I think they're going to have one of the stronger running backs rooms in the league, because you have three guys now that can really run the football.
Yeah, and Carson, Penny, and Hyde, and we'll see the health on Carson and Penny whenever the season does get underway. Warren Moon here with us on the show. Let me ask you about someone that you know very well, and that is Cam Newton. The last 2 years haven't gone the way that he would like it to go, with the shoulder injury and the foot injury, now still without a football home. How much good football do you think Cam has left in him?
You know, if he's healthy, he still has a lot of good football left in him, only because he's only 30, 31 years old, even though he does have some wear and tear on him from some of those injuries. But he's still one of the best athletes at that position. And from what he's shown on Instagram and different things like that, he's in excellent shape. And now it's just a matter of teams getting a chance to examine him with their doctors, and also be able to sit down and talk to him and just kind of learn who he is, because he's a different personality than most quarterbacks around the league. And that's something that you have to take into consideration, that is this the type of guy that you want to lead your football team? And the only way you can find that out is to get in front of him and have a conversation with him. And that hasn't been able to happen because of the pandemic and the limited traveling. So it's unfortunate that he doesn't have a job right now, but I think he will get one. I just don't know how it's going to come. And once he gets a chance to get back into the league, then he'll show what he can do once he gets on the field.
Do you think the Patriots should bring him in, Warren?
You know, I would. If I'm any team in this league, I would bring him in. He's just been that good since he's been in the league, except for the years that he was hurt. So why wouldn't you take a chance of just taking a look at him and sitting him down, talking to him, and seeing where he is? But the problem is you can't do that right now. So I don't know when that's going to happen. It probably should be here pretty soon. Things are starting to open up all over the country, and hopefully he'll get that opportunity, because I think the guy is still dying to play football. He's working his tail off right now, and we all know what he's capable of doing when he's healthy.
All right, before we let you run, let me go back to the NFC West. We know that the 49ers and Seahawks, we expect them to be two great football teams this year. The Rams and the Cardinals, I think this is the best division in football this year. What do you see with the Rams and the Cardinals entering this season?
You know, I really like what the Cardinals are doing. They just picked up DeAndre Hopkins to go along with Larry Fitzgerald and Kirk, the young receiver. They've got some really good receivers on the outside, and I think Murray is just going to only improve in his second year. He had a really outstanding rookie year, rookie of the year offensively, and he's only going to get better in that offense, an offense that he knows pretty well. I think they're going to get better on defense. So, yeah, this is going to be a very competitive team. They were in most of the games that they played in last year. They lost a lot of close games, and they're only going to be more improved this year. So, like you said, this division is very, very tough. It's going to be tough from top to bottom. The Rams have lost a lot of good players over the last couple of years, so I'm interested to see how they replace some of those guys. I know they have a lot of young guys that they're really high on. They still have their quarterback in place, but they lost Gurley. They're going to have to come up with an every down runner, and I don't know who that's going to be. There's a couple of guys that can be that, but they have really good receivers, and defensively, if you have Aaron Donald, you always have a chance. But they did lose a lot of good defensive players as well, a lot of veterans who they had to get rid of because of salary cap problems. But again, if they have good young players behind them, who knows? They could be another dangerous team in the division.
One more for you, Warren. Do you trust the Browns? Do you think the Browns are a playoff team this year?
On paper, they are. There's no question about it. I mean, I think offensively they really improved themselves on the offensive line, drafting the kid Wills from Alabama, and also picking up the big tackle from the Titans. They have two wide receivers who are legitimate. They have two good tight ends now and two really good running backs. I don't know how they're going to keep both of those guys on the side. I mean, one of those guys on the sideline, because they both, are 1,000-yard backs. So offensively, they're really strong. And on the defensive side, I think they're going to be better than they were last year. This could be a playoff team if their quarterback plays well, Baker Mayfield. And he had an off year last year. I think it was unfortunate with the coaching that was going on last year. They didn't seem to be on the same page. I think having the new coaching change is really going to help him, and I think he's more focused in on just being the best quarterback he can be, as opposed to all the other fluff that was surrounding him last year.
WMoon1 on Twitter, WarrenMoon1 on Instagram. Make sure you give the Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback a follow. Warren, always appreciate your perspective. Thanks for the chat.
Thanks for having me on. We look forward to talking to you down the road when we get some football going.
From your lips to God's ears. Thanks so much. Warren Moon there with us on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.